The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now here's a bottle of wine that's really a bottle of wine. This was made by our Iceman's grandfather. Same as he used to do in the old country. He puts the grapes in the bathtub and he jumps on them. I saw him do it.
Why didn't he take his socks off?
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
My tremendous intuitive sense of the female creature informs me that you are troubled.
And your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you could ever want to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything about that adorable, squishy, wonderful little grape. Yes, it is that favorite show of mine. It is that time of year. Happy New Year, everybody. We have made it through another year. We have made it through the holiday season. We have made it through Christmas. We have made it through all the big shopping adventures. And now we get to focus on one last primary little drinking holiday, New Year's Eve. Now, a lot of us have different feelings about New Year's Eve. I know that all of those that know me and have spent time around me know that this is my least favorite week of the year. I hate the week before New Year's Eve. I don't know why I hate it. I think it's the chaos. I think it's the people that all of a sudden they've been running around like chickens with their head cut off, trying to shop, trying to organize, trying to wrap, trying to put Christmas trees up, and they have been living on adrenaline for so long that they get to this week after the madness of Christmas is over, and they don't know what to do with that excess adrenaline. So they continue to try and run around and do crazy, crazy things. And this includes all of our friends in the wholesale business. This includes all of our friends in the restaurants. Yes, it seems like they totally lose their capacity to plan for anything. So that is what today's show is all about, to remind people about that one bubbly, adorable, great, fun wine used to seduce people, favorite beverage throughout the year, champagne. I try and save it all up for this show simply because as I introduce myself as the Chardonnay sipping diva, less face facts, I am truly a bubblehead. And those around me who are ever dumb enough to say, well, I don't really drink champagne, those are my favorite victims. They are the ones that I will give a glass to and all of a sudden turn around and find my bottle gone. So this is truly my closet secret identity. I am a bubblehead beyond a Chardonnay sipping diva. To me, it is the finest wine on the planet. It is the perfect wine. Honestly, whether you're planning a meal, planning a brunch, planning a dinner, if you're planning a cruise, if you're planning a picnic, nothing makes the moment sweeter or finer than a glass of champagne. Now, of course, at some point during the show, we will get into the fact that it doesn't just have to be champagne. And we'll explain what champagne is and about the region, the different denominations, and how it breaks down. But ultimately, if you want that perfect moment, that perfect wine, if you're shopping still for the perfect gift, if you're still looking for something to serve, this is the wine that will make the difference. So I think we can all guess what my wine recommendation is going to be for this week. But actually, I may surprise you. Because even though in past shows and past moments I have mentioned this, I have no specific wine recommendation for today. My advice to everybody out there as they plan their New Year's Eve and they're looking for something special, they're looking for something unique, drink pink. There are several wineries out there that have done some advertising for breast cancer awareness that say think pink, drink pink. When I say drink pink, drink rosé champagne. So many times people stay away from the pink stuff because of they think of the pink Chablis or the cheap pink cold duck, and they think, oh no, that stuff is going to be terrible, it's going to be sweet, it's going to be taste like white Zinfandel. Absolutely not. Rosé champagne is the finest creation on the planet. I think Ben Franklin said, God created beer as proof that he loves us. No, Franklin had it wrong. God created rosé champagne as proof that he loves us. Now, even though I'm not going to name a specific one single type, however, the House of Tattinger, whether it's their Tête de Cuvée, whether it's their regular Prestige Rosé, their pink wines are absolutely fantastic, as of course are the Domaine Carneris counterparts in California. But if you don't want to go down that road with Tattinger, Laurent Perrier, there's something about Laurent Perrier Rosé. I don't know what it is. My friends used to joke around with me that I said an 800 milliliter of Voss, 2 aspirin, 2 vitamin B is the only cure for a hangover. I has been totally proved incorrect. There is something about Laurent Perrier Rosé that will cure everything that ails you. There's just no two ways about it. Once again, another fine, absolutely spectacular rosé. For those of you who don't want to spend that kind of money, you don't want to go into the French side, like I said, the Domaine Carneris rosé is outstanding. But of course, Schramsberg does a lovely rosé as well for those that want to feel closer to home. So there, your wine recommendation for this upcoming weekend, for New Year's Eve, actually for any time of the day, is to drink pink. And some people ask me often, even though I usually recommend champagne for doing an entire dinner for people who don't like red, who don't like white, who are trying to find a mid-ground, or who are pairing things with difficult types of food, they say, well, what kind of champagne do you want to do? Rosé champagne is an excellent pair with red meats. It's excellent with anything you're doing off the grill. It is not as delicate as people think it is. So if you're planning on doing tenderloin, standing rib roast, whatever kind of beef you're planning on doing, lamb, veal, it will go along beautifully. And I see Laura in the booth giggling at me. Of course, Mr. Kent has decided that he didn't want to live through another champagne show. So Miss Smales has taken the booth. Miss Smales, are we having fun yet?
I love champagne, and you know I do. So yes. I am all excited.
Yes. So she's back there giggling and laughing because I think she's one of the people that, oh, I don't really like champagne. And then I started pouring it down her throat, and she realized she didn't have an option.
True. That is exactly true.
So people often ask me, why is champagne so passionate to you? And, you know, I never like to play the sexist card and I never like to play the feminist card. But I think when you look in the wine world and you look over the history of wine, you don't hear much about women. You really don't. You know that apparently throughout the years that women finally have inherited some vineyards and some chateaus in France once the Napoleonic laws were changed. And, of course, here in the United States, we talk about female winemakers, but when you look back on the history of wine as a whole, women are sorely absent. And it's interesting because everyone thinks that champagne is credited to a man, Dom Perignon of the Hauteville Abbey. And ultimately, this man was just in charge of disaster control. Because ultimately, when you look at champagne, think about the regions in France. They would make the wine, they'd bring it, they'd put it in barrels, they'd put it in bottles, but all of a sudden, it would get cold. And once it got cold, of course, fermentation stopped. Well, what happened, as soon as it warmed up a little bit again, fermentation would start again. So whether it was in bottle, whether it was in cask, all of a sudden when you have fermentation, one of the byproducts is, of course, CO2. If the bottles were absolutely capped, if they were airtight, eventually they'd start exploding. So ultimately, Dom Perignon, who is accredited with founding champagne, ultimately was put into damage control in the Abbey, because what was happening is they made all their wine that they were going to sell in the spring and sell in the summertime. As secondary fermentation started in the bottles, a bottle would blow up. Now, back then, it's one thing to have a bottle explode on you, but at some point it would cause a domino effect within the cellar. And by causing a domino effect, when one bottle would go, the one next to it would go, and so on and so on and so on. They were known to lose 20 to 40% of their stores simply because the bottles kept blowing up and taking everything around it with them. So, yes, we all credit Dom Perignon with founding champagne, but ultimately his job was to find a way to keep the whole cellar store from disintegrating.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now, and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership. Order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169. If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 100,000 miles on it, your car will eventually break down and you'll need to go to your local repair shop. And we all know dealing with these guys can be very expensive. A new transmission can cost over $3,000, a new engine more than $3,500, new air conditioning can cost over $1,700, and a new water pump more than $600. You need to call the Auto Protection Network. We're like insurance to protect the inside of your car. We'll save you thousands on costly repair bills. Don't let your car break down without a warranty. Protect yourself from expensive repair bills. If your car has less than 100,000 miles on it and it's less than 10 years old, call today for a free customized quote. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Crush, I am Laura Lawson, and today I am the champagne gargling diva. We are talking about everything bubbly. We are going to have bubbly personalities. We're going to have fun. But let me clear up a misnomer, because I get several emails on this. And yes, throughout today's show, I am going to be discussing champagne. Now, I am going to use champagne as the term for everything that has bubbles in it, and that is wrong. I know it's wrong. I know that everything is not called champagne. However, I am old, and I get in old habits. And in doing so, if it has bubbles, I will call it champagne, unless I'm trying to do something professional. And we all know that this show is not professional, so we're not going to worry about it. Champagne is a sparkling wine that comes from one set region of France. No questions, no ifs, ands, or buts. It does not matter. It comes from one specific region. And it is made from three different grapes. It is made from Chardonnay, it is made from Pinot Noir, and it's made from Pinot Meunier. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. Granted, there's some little technicalities and some further deviation once we get into the region of Champagne. But ultimately, that's it. That's all we're talking about. So, of course, when you start looking at champagne and wondering why you're spending more money for champagne from France, whether it's Tattinger, Perrier Jouet, Dom Pérignon, it's because you're looking at a very small area in the world that's allowed to call itself champagne. And it has been there for years and years and decades and centuries and centuries. And if you have one set defined area that only the grapes that can go in the champagne are grown in, it's called supply and demand. demand usually exceeds supply. So, of course, we all know, if we paid attention in economics class, what happens if demand exceeds supply? Prices go up. So, ergo, between the fact that you have to pay for the land, the experience, the region, the chateau, that's why Champagne tends to be the most expensive sparkling on the planet. That, and of course, I'm just partial to it. Now, when we discuss Champagne, by saying Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Meunier, these three grapes, yes, I know that two of them are red. Yes, I know that Champagne is usually beigey color or a straw color. They are all blended together. Just remember the fact that when you squeeze a red grape, what color is the juice that runs down your hand? No, it's not red, it's white. So this is how they get away with it. Now, my beloved rosé champagne comes from having contact with the skin of the red grapes. So, yes, red and white go together to make true champagne, and spending time on the skins is what makes it pink. So there, that is champagne. In a nutshell, as simple as I can make it, anything with bubbles coming from that specified region in France has that designation. Now, of course, all of you are sitting there saying, well, Laura, the rest of the world has stuff that has bubbles in it. How is it known? Now, you've heard me mention Cremant. I believe we recommended Bouvet one year on the show. And Cremant is from the Loire Valley. That's the sparkling style from the Loire Valley. Generally, it's made with Chenin Blanc. You have Sekt from Germany. Sekt is sparkling wine from Germany. Generally, it's made with Riesling and Elbling. Of course, we've all heard of Spumante. California did a terrible job of ruining the reputation of Spumante for the rest of the world. But ultimately, Spumante is the name of sparkling wine that comes from Italy. And it's generally made from Muscat, Brachetto, and Prosecco. Please ignore the Asti Spumantes that you used to see, whether it was Cook's, whether it was stuff like that. It bears no relation whatsoever to the amazing Spumantes that come from Italy. Cava is what you call sparkling wine out of Spain. And I think there's some great examples of this. I think this is some of the best values out there, whether it's Fregenet, whether it's Cristalino. There's some amazing Cavas coming out of Spain. And it's generally made from Masabea, Perodello, Zirlo. And, of course, they're using Chardonnay a lot to blend into that as well. Now, of course, in California, it's called sparkling. And in California, it can be made generally from anything. Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, Chardonnay. In America, we use Pinot Blanc. Especially in Washington State, there's some amazing sparkling wines coming out of Washington State and Oregon. And they use Pinot Blanc, they use Pinot Gris, and these are just light, wonderful, effervescent, great things. But understand this, even though we can look at it as Cremant, Sekt, Spumante, Cava, sparkling, all the different names we have for it, any grape can be made into a sparkling wine. Any grape. Ultimately, all it takes for a wine to be sparkling is to have the gas captured in it and to have that fermentation. So think about Australia. If you want something really bizarre for this New Year's Eve, if you want a sparkling Shiraz, you can go get that. So, see, all kind of different avenues, all kind of different ways to look at it. But ultimately, you have to consider the different names. And the different names are going to make a difference in what you're paying for things. Yes, there are some California sparklings that are up there with France's champagnes. There's no way around that. Ultimately, though, I do believe when it comes to champagne and it comes to sparkling wine, you get what you pay for. For those of you that want to shop the bottom shelf, for those of you who want to get the $3.99 and $4.99, yes, I understand it's a great way to celebrate, but ultimately, I don't want to hear one word about your head hurting the next day. I do believe you have to put your money where your mouth is. The one exception, as I mentioned, there's some great values coming from Spain. The Cavas, they're nice, they're light, they're wonderful. They will give you a good bang for your buck. You can get great Cavas for $10 to $15, and they are definitely worth sipping on throughout New Year's Eve. Now, a lot of people go back and look at that, and then they ask the question, okay, put your money where your mouth is. I don't want to have a headache. Ergo, how come my head always hurts more after drinking champagne? This has been a debate literally for decades. Over and over and over again, people saying, oh, I can't drink champagne, it goes straight to my head. Oh, I can't drink champagne, it gives me an awful hangover. They have actually done some scientific studies on this, and there is proof that champagne does give you a worse hangover than still wines, and they have finally figured out why. When you consider champagne, to ultimately get to that wonderful, delicious, adorable little beverage that we get in that glass, you have to go through two fermentations. What they say and what they have finally proved is, yes, when you have a hangover, it's a result of the fact that you have ingested alcohol, that you have dehydrated your body. But ultimately, there are cogeners in fermented fruit. And the cogeners are what your body tries to get rid of. It's what gives you the headache. It what gives you that dried out feeling. It what gives you that, oh, I have had too much, nauseous, head hurts, please don't make me get off the couch, head pounding feeling. When champagne goes through its secondary fermentation, it is creating cogeners again. So we have fermented the base wine and had the cogeners are in that. Now we have fermented it again. So you, in essence, are getting a double dose of cogeners. Now, whether this is truth or fiction, I don't know. 20 years from now, science may revolutionize this and say, absolutely not. It was a whole bunch of bunk. It was not possible. But for right now, for those of you who insist that champagne gives you a headache, it is entirely possible that you are indeed correct. And of course, we're going to discuss the whole idea of wine going to your head in another segment, because once again, we may have found another fact in the fiction. We need to get our little urban myth guys. What were those guys called? The guys that do the urban legends, fact or fiction?
Yes, I'll have to get them.
Yes, we need to get them on the show and see if we can't get them to find out if it's truth or fiction. One, that champagne really does go to your head faster. Two, it creates hangovers. They would probably have some fun doing that show. But also, let's discuss one last little point when it comes to, one, champagne giving you a headache, and two, the bubbles and the secondary fermentation. There has always been this lore, there's always been this rumor that expensive champagne has finer bubbles. I think all of us remember the Don Ho Corbel commercial from, oh, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, when you had Don Ho singing his song, Tiny Little Bubbles, and then all of a sudden someone gave him a glass of champagne that was not Corbel, and he starts singing gross, fat, disgusting bubbles. There is scientific proof, again, that the bubbles in a glass of champagne, which is known as the bead, the smaller the bubbles in the glass of champagne, the finer the champagne. So as someone hands you a glass New Year's Eve, if you sit down and you look at the glass and your bubbles are just very tiny and rising to the top and have this nice delicacy, then absolutely you have something spectacular in front of you. If someone hands you something that looks like a Diet Coke and has great big soda bubbles coming up, I think twice before drinking that. Hey, we're going to take another break here on The Crush, but when we return, we have more of your emails and more champagne fun coming up.
Z-Max Micro Lubricant, the only engine and fuel system product that makes your car or truck engine perform better. Legendary car builder Carroll Shelby is sold on Z-Max.
There's no doubt that it's the only additive that really works.
Put Z-Max in your oil and gas and reduce internal friction and harmful deposits.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, tested, trusted performance. Available at auto parts stores and at Z-Max.com.
Dad?
Yeah, buddy?
Do coyotes eat people?
No.
Do wolves eat people?
Come with me. Bring your stuff.
Good night, Dad.
Good night, buddy.
The 2012 Chevy Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting full-size pickups on the road. From getting outdoors to getting indoors, Chevy runs deep.
Dependability based on longevity, 1981 through July 2010, full-size pickup registrations.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old? beach. Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But Wet held the boy's eyes in awful trance, with the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. Today we are doing our best to be effervescent. We are having fun with bubbles. We are discussing wine that sparkles as much as my personality. Yes, we're having fun. And of course, anytime I'm having fun, it means I need to take your emails. For those of you who want to contribute the show, we always adore it when you do. Email me directly, lauralawson@winecrush.com, or call us 877-4CRUSH1. Or, of course, you can go to our website, winecrush.com, and you can click on the little button there that says send a message. And that's exactly what some of you have done. And keep in mind, too, I don't deliberately ignore your emails. I don't ignore your questions. I do like to kind of all herd them together for shows. So we're going to hit on a lot of these today. Right now, I have an email from Diane, and Diane hails from New Hampshire. And Diane writes, why are some true champagnes sweeter than others? How can I tell the difference? When I go shop at my local wine shop, I see a whole lot of bottles and a whole lot of labels that look the same, but sometimes when I buy them, they taste differently. Why is that? Well, Diane, it does get kind of complicated, and I will say this. Classifications of sparkling wine, honestly, I think if we were ever to redo anything, this is something that needs to be clarified, because if we can't teach everybody these different designations, we need to make it a little more subtle, a little more user-friendly for people to understand what they're getting in a bottle and in a glass. So, for those of you out there who aren't driving and are on their way to go pick out their champagne, their sparkling wine for New Year's, I'm going to give you the little bitty primer of what to look for on labels so that you can get the style of wine you like. Let's start here. Now, I'm going to take these from driest to sweetest, and I'm going to throw the word dry out right now. It's gone. So we aren't going to use that term again, except for how it's going to apply to a label. So we are going to use sugarless to sugar. It's just easier that way, and you'll understand it in a second. Okay, the most sugarless champagne sparkling wine you can get is Brut Nature. N-A-T-U-R-E, Brut Nature, however you want to look at it, however you want to pronounce it. This sparkling wine, this champagne, has absolutely no sugar added to it. It is going to be just plain bone, no residual, easy drinking, no sweetness to it. The next one is going to be Extra Brut. Extra Brut just has a little bit of sugar added to it. Just a tiny, tiny bit. And so, of course, now we have Brut Nature. We have Extra Brut. Then we have Brut. Brut is your most common middle of the road. It has sugar added to it. So for those who like sweet, those who like dry, this actually appeals to both categories. This is the one most commonly consumed. This is most house styles. Brut is what you commonly see. So using Brut as your standpoint, for those of you who are looking for something different, whether you want something that's less sweet or more sweet, here is your dividing line. If you want less sweet than Brut, look for Extra Brut, look for Brut Nature, or Brut Zero. Now, moving ahead, this is why I have alleviated the word dry from our vocabulary. Extra dry is your next clarification, and to me, this is the term that needs to be thrown out. When it comes to champagne, people go to the shelves, they see extra dry, they're thinking, oh good, I don't like sweet wines, I'm going to buy this one. Wrong. Absolutely, 100% wrong. Extra dry actually means that it's starting to move to sweet. Extra dry actually has more sugar in it than Brut. It's also called extra sec. So, of course, when you start looking at translations, I know how we got here, but extra dry to me is just totally a misnomer, and it causes a lot of aggravation. After extra dry, we're moving towards much sweeter. We go to sec, and sec is considered slightly sweet. And slightly sweet, it depends on how you look at it. I consider extra dry to be slightly sweet. Sec, you definitely can pick up the residual sugar. You definitely start tasting the sugar in it. It has a little bit more viscosity to it. And then you go to demi-sec. Demi-sec is sweet. There's no two ways about it. It is a sweet, sparkling wine. So for those of you who like the sweet factor, for those of you who like dessert wines, for those of you who like this flavor, this is what you're looking for. And finally, for those of you who want to be able to use your champagne essentially to pour over ice cream, there is Doux, D-O-U-X. This is very, very sweet. This is the heaviest, sweetest sparkling champagne you can get out there. So let me run through these again in order from driest to sweetness. Brut Nature, Extra Brut, Brut, Extra Dry, Sec, Demi-Sec, and Doux. So driest to sweetest, that should explain things. Diane, I hope this helps you. I know that ultimately these are not terms that if you are not studying, you're not thinking about wine day in and day out, that you are really going to have a handle on. But perhaps at least the next time you go down and walk down the shelves of your local Mega Mart, you will notice this on the label, whether it says demi-sec, sec, brut, extra dry, and you will know that it's a designation. And hopefully, in our mind's eye, you have now picked, okay, well, I don't really like sweet wines, but I don't really like dry wines. I want a brut. At least that will maybe be what sticks with you. So hopefully that helps. Trust me, I understand. It figures, once again, a wine that has women associated with it, we're going to find a way to make it difficult.
And I'm thinking I'm going to put that up on the website.
Okay.
We're going to write those out for everybody.
That would be very helpful. There, you can go to winecrush.com, and it will give you the list all the way through. So, however, since we've got Laura paying attention, she's going to put that up on the website, I'm going to go ahead and take this next email out of sequence because this is something else that people ask me all the time. So, Diane, I got your email, and, of course, several others wrote along those same lines about sweet to dry. Now, here's the next question that I get a lot, and I'm actually going to take this question. It's from Tamara, and Tamara writes it from New York. Why does champagne come in so many sizes, and what do they all mean? And I will say this. Yes, once again, it's bad enough that you sit down and you look at a champagne bottle and see all these different words on it. Then the bottle themselves become complicated. Every wine in the world has the capacity to come in all these different sizes. Many different sizes, whether it's single servings, whether it's 1.5s, 3 liters, 6 liters, 9 liters. They all can be made in this, but champagne is the one that pretty much sets the benchmark for the naming and the standards of all these different bottles. So we're going to kind of run through those too so that you can understand what you're getting and try and put it in terms, because I've even seen people who have been in the business for a long time sit down and try and figure out, okay, well, a 1.5, a Magnum, how many bottles is that? So for those of you who are planning parties, this will give you an idea of how many bottles you need to get and what you need to look at. So as we're running through this, a split. A split of champagne is probably the most controversial, argued about bottle out there. A split of champagne is a single serve. It is 187 milliliters. A split is good for me to put a little straw in and to actually, take 30 seconds and suck it down. A half bottle is the one where you can get two glasses out of. And I think sommeliers and restaurants all around the country get this wrong. A half bottle will serve two glasses. It's 375 milliliters. So a split is not a half bottle. A split is good for one person. A half bottle is good for two. Then you get to your standard. A standard's just 750 milliliters. 750 milliliters, this is the basic bottle you see on the shelf, eye level. It says Tattinger. It looks like a wine bottle. That is 750 milliliters. Then you have a magnum. And once you go from standard, we start doubling here for the most part. Standard, 750 milliliters. A magnum is 1.5 liters. And that is the equivalent of two bottles. Then you go to Jeroboam. A Jeroboam is a 3 liter. It is four bottles. So for those of you planning parties, usually a Jeroboam might be the best bet for you. You have four bottles of champagne. They're usually, you can, because you're buying in one big bottle, it's less expensive. You save money and it's always festive. 3 liters are fun and they're as easy to open as, say, the regular other bottles. Now, as we start moving up in size here, they do get more difficult to open, so keep that in mind. For those of you planning parties, a Jeroboam, a 3 liter is your best bet. After Jeroboam, you have a Methuselah. A Methuselah is 6 liters. That is the equivalent of eight bottles. Then you have a Salmazar is a 9 liter. It is the equivalent of 12 bottles. Then you have a Balthazar. It is 12 liters. It is 16 bottles. For those of you who are buying a Balthazar for New Year's Eve, my email, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Feel free to send me an invite because this is going to be a party I want to see. Now, of course, then there is the daddy of them all. There is the Nebuchadnezzar. A Nebuchadnezzar is 15 liters, and this is 20 bottles. Generally, if you're going to buy a Nebuchadnezzar, you are having an all-out bash. And just for those of you who are planning this way and think, oh my gosh, that sounds really, really cool, keep in mind you pretty much have to have a portable stand to serve and pour this. So we will put these listings on the website as well. Laura can get them all out for you, and she can put them all together so you can understand. But once again, it is difficult to know all these bottle sizes, but for those of you having a party, I'd recommend a Jeroboam. And yes, for those of you who actually do study your Bible, they are all biblical names once you get past Jeroboam. Methuselah, Salmazar, Balthazar, Nebuchadnezzar. I think they all came from the Bible. And if I wasn't going to push myself, I would say it was all the wise men. But I'm sure someone out there will correct me, as I'm not usually a wise woman. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we will still have more of your champagne questions and more bubbly repartee.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is The Wine Crush.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-695-7442. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-695-7442. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Call 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442.
If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 100,000 miles on it, your car will eventually break down and you'll need to go to your local repair shop. And we all know dealing with these guys can be very expensive. A new transmission can cost over $3,000, a new engine more than $3,500, new air conditioning can cost over $1,700, and a new water pump more than $600. You need to call the Auto Protection Network. We're like insurance to protect the inside of your car. We'll save you thousands on costly repair bills. Don't let your car break down without a warranty. Protect yourself from expensive repair bills. If your car has less than 100,000 miles on it and it's less than 10 years old, call today for a free customized quote. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and things are just popping all over the studio today because that's what we're doing. We are encouraging you to pop some corks and celebrate for New Year's Eve. Now, before I get into this next small little factoid that I really do enjoy, and we discussed this earlier about some of these little rumors and some of these myths, let me issue a word of caution to everybody out there. Ultimately, champagne is fun. It's enjoyable. And I have watched many of my friends decide that it's entertaining in the celebratory moment to take champagne, shake it up, and pop the cork out of the bottle. And I have to admit, yes, we've all had those moments. We have done it. That cork in that bottle is under 8 atmospheres of pressure. Okay, I realize that doesn't mean anything to you, but let me put it this way. When that cork comes out of the bottle, at that moment, it's traveling 25 miles per hour. It will attain a speed of 62 miles per hour. Now, essentially, I realize we don't think twice about cork, but ultimately, it's like my favorite movie, The Christmas Story. Don't be careful, you will shoot your eye out. So for those of you who will be handling champagne, please do it discriminately. Please be safe. Please be cautious, because there is nothing that can ruin a good holiday party by someone having to go to the ER because you caught them in the bottle of the chin or caught them in the eye with the champagne cork. Seriously, it can seriously injure somebody. So keep that in mind. As that cork comes out, it will attain speeds of 62 miles an hour. Yes, it is volatile. It is a projectile. It can hurt. It can damage. So that would be something else we need to find those little guys. Mythbusters, that's what they're called. We need to get a hold of Mythbusters and see if we can find out if a champagne cork can kill somebody. That would actually fascinate me. Actually, that might be very useful in future endeavors. Okay, so having said that, the reason why I'm issuing this warning is because now, again, there is scientific proof. Like I told you in the earlier segment, there is proof that perhaps champagne does go to your head and give you a horrible headache. It has truly been proven that champagne can go to your head. Champagne does indeed get you drunk faster than still wine. So please keep this in mind for those of you who will be driving on New Year's, for those of you who are planning on going out and really partaking. It really does enter your bloodstream faster. What they have figured out, and their guess is the whole point is having the CO2 actually in the beverage, having the CO2 in the champagne, it absorbs into your bloodstream quicker. Now, they can't really figure out why, but several scientific tests have been done. This actually was done, I'm not even going to try the word, psychopharmacology unit at the University of Surrey in Guildford through a couple of drink parties for volunteers in their department. They gave champagne to 12 volunteers. Half drank fizzy champagne and the other half had flat champagne, purged of it bubbles beforehand with a whisk. The following week, she repeated the experiment but gave each volunteer the opposite kind of champagne to the previous time. Each person drank two glasses of champagne per session. He adjusted the exact intake so that everyone drank the same amount of alcohol per kilogram of body mass, and sure enough, alcohol levels rose much faster among the bubbly drinkers. After just 5 minutes, they had an average of 0.54 milligrams of alcohol per liter of blood. Those drinking flat champagne averaged just 0.39 milligrams of alcohol. I realize my mass skills aren't great, but that's almost double. So keep that in mind. Yes, I will finally acquiesce. I will give it to you. Science has proven. I've always laughed at my friends. Oh, I had that glass of champagne. It went straight to my head. I didn't know what I was saying. Usually with my friends, I figured they were just blaming it on the champagne because the stuff that'll come out of their mouths will floor even me. So I figured it was their excuse. It truly does happen. You drink champagne, you will get more intoxicated faster. So please, by all means, keep that in mind. So, when you're planning on drinking your champagne, you now have planned ahead. You know if it's going to be sweet, you know if it's going to be dry, you know what it's going to taste like. You know what size bottle you need to be getting. Now, you also know that you have to be extra careful when drinking all of this champagne because you know it'll go to your head. Of course, we still have questions. And here is one of my favorite ones, and this is very, very easy to answer. This comes from Karen, and Karen White says from Wichita. How do some champagnes taste the same year after year? I thought vintages made a difference. Yes, around the world, vintages do make a difference. And I assume what you're asking is, of course, about non-vintage champagne. So once again, I'm going to revert back to my favorite champagne, Tattinger. Tattinger, for year in, year out, most champagne houses have something called a house style. And a house style is what the flavor profile is going to be year after year after year, vintage after vintage after vintage. And what's really neat about this, whether you think of the light delicacy of Perrier Jouet, the yeastiness of Tattinger, the really yeastiness of Bollinger, the winemakers craft it this way. And what they're able to do that is because it is a vertical and a horizontal assembly. What this means is when they go down into their cellars and they look at the barrels, the still wine that are going to become their champagne, they can use vertical. They can use anything they want to down there. By using horizontal, they can use Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier in the same measure, but they can also use horizontal. They can use different years. So they can use 2003, 2004, 2005 to get that perfect blend, to get that flavor, to get that profile that typifies what their house style is. So that's how your favorite champagne can taste the same no matter what vintage, is the winemakers work very, very hard to keep that together. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here on The Crush, but when we return, we are going to touch on some last-minute fabulous things to celebrate your New Year's Eve with.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush. Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at zmax.com.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now, and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership. Order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169.
Dad?
Yeah, buddy?
Do coyotes eat people?
No.
Do wolves eat people?
Come with me. Bring your stuff.
Good night, Dad.
Good night, buddy.
The 2012 Chevy Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting full-size pickups on the road. From getting outdoors to getting indoors, Chevy runs deep.
Dependability based on longevity, 1981 through July 2010, full-size pickup registrations.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master?
Yeah!
Well, stop dreaming and start shopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars.
Hi-yah!
It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-yah time!
This is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and around the studio today, we are celebrating. We are getting ready for New Year's Eve, and in doing so, of course, we are advocating champagne, sparkling wine, and all the great trappings that go with it. I've been answering a lot of your emails. I'm going to wrap up with one last quick email because I want to clarify this. I've tried to educate you all the way through about champagne today, but here's the question that I really, really want to answer because there's a lot of debate over it. Ultimately, when I buy a bottle of champagne and it has a number on it, that number is the year it was bottled, right? Absolutely not. When you see a number on a bottle, right now, Dom Perignon 2003, whenever you see a date, that date is the year the grapes were grown. And of course, yes, I realize that leads to other confusion, but ultimately it is the date that the grapes were grown. It is the year they were grown. No, it's not when it was bottled or anything along those lines. So rest your mind at ease. A vintage champagne, vintage does mean the year it was grown. Hope that helps. Well, ultimately, I hope that this show has helped you. I hope you've had fun listening to the repartee, the wisdom, and anything I can share. But ultimately, if I want to share anything with you, as much fun as you have on New Year's Eve, please do it safely. Please do it in the company of people that you enjoy. Please have fun with it. But think about this as you lift that glass at New Year's. Think about, I want to resolve in 2012 to make sure that I lift a glass of champagne on a weekly basis. I lift a glass of champagne on a monthly basis. Because ultimately, any moment we find to celebrate in the turmoils that are our times, whether it's the economy, whether it's health, whether it's environment, anytime we find a moment where we can lift a glass and laugh and celebrate, it is definitely worthwhile. As always, here at The Wine Crush, we are reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk to you next year.